der durch alle fließt, gell, der vom Weinstock in uns und durch uns fließt. Ja, lasst uns vielleicht jetzt mal zum Anfang ein paar Verse lesen.
Let us read some verses together. Ephesians 3, verse 17 through 19. That all those here now in Karlsruhe could see, could read that. I see them, you don't see them. Chapter 3, verse 17 through 19.
Damit ihr erfüllt werdet, bis hin zur ganzen Fülle Gottes. Amen.
That you might be filled till the fullness of God. And let us go back to John 17. John 17, 17 through 19. Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is the truth. As you sent me into the world, I have also sent them into the world. For their sakes I sanctify myself, that they themselves also may be sanctified in truth. Amen. Sanctify them in the truth. He speaks about mysteries. From the very beginning, he explains us what he is in his plan. He wants to have it visible wherever we are. Everything he has already prepared. He wants to bring us into this oneness. The first meeting we have seen, God reveals his glory, first of all through the creation, but afterwards through his works. But then, in the New Testament, it is touchable. We saw his glory. That was John says. We saw his glory. It is not remaining with this one man. The Lord said, you will see greater things. We have read a lot of John 17, right? I have given this glory to them that they may be one, just as we are one. The Father or the Lord wants to make us one. We have received this glory. You might probably see me vice versa, but no problem. That is the technique. Praise the Lord for his whole plan. There's something we can see and we should see. We want to realize what he has brought into us and where he wants to bring us in. He has become flesh. What we read, God manifested in the flesh, is on the one hand Christ, But he wants mankind, he wants these human beings out of flesh and blood to express this glory. He brings us, he takes us into this oneness with the Father. This is his burden. This in John. In John, we have a lot of healings, wonderful stories. Everybody can understand it. But here, starting from chapter 13, there's a long speech of the Lord to his disciples. And the culmin is here in John 17. All those who will believe through his word, through their word, they should all receive this glory. They want to enter this glory. The Lord even said, I have not even lost one of them. Even if only this small group would remain compared to all these millions of people who had seen him, and they had come and they had left when it was too hot for them. But there were some, and he invested everything into them. And he brought them to the Father's heart. He has brought us there. As we have seen, it's not just the activity of the Lord that he has prepared everything, but also we. Should do something. We should, as we have heard yesterday evening, we should have this decisive heart. The Lord has prepared everything. He has given us his faith, but the man shall have this resolute heart. Adam and Eve could have decided for God. He expected that. What God has trusted us is not only works, works, works. No, that was what the people in John wanted to see. But we should receive this Christ, his work. That is his work, that we would believe in him. We would repent. It's always a heart's decision. He who has not received the Lord, you can do it tonight, now, in this moment. You can say, I want to follow you. I want to be fully unto you. Thank you, Lord, that my life has a goal and has a sense with you. This morning, we saw another mystery. It's a mystery of the oneness, the secret of the one, of the unity. It's not a matter of having the right teaching and do it everything according to a ritual. No. It is a matter of being one with the Father and the Son. We should get to know this mystery, the secret. He wants us to enter this secret. The church is nothing outward, it is something inward.
Wartet mal.
The Lord told the disciples, you don't do it now anything. You just wait in Jerusalem till the Spirit comes. And the same attitude should be ours. Wait on the Lord. Open like Mary, right? It was shared this morning. She just sat at Jesus' feet. We should do a lot, yes, and the Lord needs workers, but it should be workers like Mary, who first listens to the Lord and receives so much, which nobody could take away from her. If I've done a lot for the Lord and here, and that can be taken away. Even the honor before men, well, you won't have any honor before God. What we need is more of this Lord in this oneness. And this oneness is so nicely represented through the vine. We had this fellowship also in Karlsruhe, in a weekly fellowship. The vine, the vineyard is so small, right? If there were no branches and be who would green, you would even not realize that there is a vine, a vineyard.
Otherwise,
it's
if it doesn't bear fruit, you cannot use the vine for everything else except the wood for the barbecue, but that's not its function. But its real function is that the juice of the vine is being pumped into the branches and the fruit is manifested in fall. And that is how we are one with the Lord. Not just individual, but all together. All together we are the branches. Christ and the church is one vine, and we all are the branches. When we meet here, we are not just individuals or members, people sitting here who are believers in Jesus, but we are branches in the vine. And what typifies the vine is it's like a tube through which the Spirit is flowing. Every day the Spirit has to flow through you. And that will settle all the problems you have always in front of your eyes. It will everything be brought into the right, correct light, and it will heal us, make us happy when the Spirit is flowing through us, and it would also make other people happy, gives hope to other people. When you're always so sad and serious, when you walk around, people would wonder. And think, well, this lady is so serious, is a good person and behaves correctly. But if you're friendly and outgoing and presenting something of Christ, you have received something from the Lord, even if you have spent just a short time in the Word, then you are refreshed in your spirit. And when you meet others, you have got something to give them. You don't need to wait for somebody to comfort you, but you will be able to comfort. That's how the Lord would like to flow through us. A vine dresser, he doesn't do his job because he likes to see the vines and because he likes the job. No, he wants the result. He's waiting for the produce, the wine he will get in the end. Our father also has a big business and he wants a result. He wants to produce something. He wants to see the fruit of the Spirit, the fruit of life. And we are right in this production, but it's not a factory, it's a vine. It's a plant. Sister said it's a symbiosis, but I would say it's too much apart, it's separate, it's one plant, it's an organic unity, like we are all members in the body of Christ. Christ has many members, so also Christ. Christ has so many members. Don't think Christ is in the heavens and I'm on the earth. You are a member in the body of Christ, and we are connected. His life is flowing through us. We are connected to the head. It is so mysterious, we can never exhaust it. Our subject reads, our sanctification for unity. We had a short conference with the church in Bonn about sanctification. It was just a weekend, and we realized that we could spend much time on this to see the wonderful work the Lord is doing in us, sanctifying, transforming us. That's what we need. Why do we need it? Because God is holy. And we cannot bring anything to Him, and we cannot remain as we are. We can come to Him as we are. You can always come to Him as you are. But in His presence, you be aware that He wants to transform you, to sanctify you. He wouldn't leave you as you are. So you can come as you are. You can be honest, not pretend. We are not making a religious show. That's why we do not have so many nice things like flowers and nice background. We could do that, but we are not for the outward frame, but we are for the inner part, and God is working. He is holy, and He wants us also to be holy. In 1 Thessalonians 4:3, it says, "This is God's will, your sanctification." This is God's will. It's God's will, your sanctification, that you avoid sexual immorality. You might think that sanctification is very high, and then he continues saying that you avoid sexual immorality. If you look around in this world, you see this immorality everywhere. So we need to have a clear limit, a borderline with the world, and the first and most important barrier is to avoid immorality, sexual immorality or fornication. That is half, already you have made one half of everything. Just avoid this way of life, doing like the worldly people, everything they feel like doing. It's God's will, our sanctification. And you notice, I'm a sinner, God is holy. So what will you do? You have got this wonderful hope. The Lord sanctifies us. He's the Holy One. And we are those who are being sanctified. Remember Joseph, who was in Egypt, in a foreign country, as we are in an hostile environment where we have to work and serve in your at your job, with your neighbors, your relatives. But there is a borderline. Potiphar's wife, when she would come and tempt him to lie with her, that is the borderline, that's the limit, stop here. Even if I have to suffer as a result, like it says about Moses, he preferred to suffer with the people of Israel rather than enjoying sin in Egypt. We need to have this attitude, all young people, to stand firmly against all these temptations. In your school, in your at your studies on the campus. Many are happy to be away from home. And what are they doing when they are out of control of their parents? When you can go out late in the evening into bars and, well, but we have a borderline. There's a limit. This is God's will, our sanctification. And it's not just these very evident things, but that's the beginning. We need a clear borderline. The Lord also says this is an adulterous generation. The whole generation, all the people around us, they are sinners and adulterers, living in sexual immorality. That seems normal to them. You may think this movie is innocent. I can watch it, but in most of these movies you find an immoral, at least one immoral part is in it. Just the way of talking and the way of they behave in those movies, we need a very clear borderline. The Lord is sanctifying us and we are different. We're different from the world. The Lord has saved us out of the world. We are not of this world, but I was born from above. Praise the Lord, that's not a shame. It's nothing of a blemish, it's a privilege. We can be proud of it, to be children of God. We do not need to take the way of the world, but we are sanctified in the Lord. The Lord has sanctified a people for his own possession. Sanctification is important for the building up of God's house, God's temple is holy. Ephesians 2:21 says that we have to be built up, as a dwelling place of God in spirit. But before it says that the whole building is being fitted together and grows. You are not a holy person from one day to the next, to thoroughly holy, but you are already sanctified by your position. God has chosen and called you. You received the Lord, and as a result, you are already sanctified. You are different from the world, but now the Lord continues his sanctification work in our whole being. As we get to know him, the Lord is working in us. And the whole building is being fitted together and grows into a holy temple in the Lord. Something is being built up, and in the end, the holy temple becomes visible and manifested. So I would like to repeat that sanctification is basic for God, as important as the glory. We have heard about the glory, but sanctification is as important. I would like to read a few verses from Romans chapter 12, 1 and 2. It's an exhortation we'd like to accept from Paul. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, including the sisters, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. We present our bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God. And do not be conformed to this world. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Not possible to understand this by your old unrenewed mind, which may have stored a few Bible verses or a confession of faith, but if we are not renewed in our mind, it's impossible to know God's will. And that's why God has to separate us, sanctify us, and renew our mind. I need to be transformed in my mind, and that process never ends. If I stop in that process, I will not only be at a standstill, but I will fall back and become a stranger to God's life. So we need to remain in the process. The vine supplies his life juice permanently. I have got a vine in front of my car park, and I saw in front of the vine, I realized that there was a little puddle. And it's like a tap that is not quite tight. And that's the same every year. It's the juice of the wine that falls down and builds a puddle. We need to know the Holy One, Christ in us. And that's why Paul not only prays for the unity, but after he has shown much about God's plan and how God wants to make his wisdom known to the powers and authorities by the church, then he starts praying. We cannot contribute so much in our own nature, but we have to bow our knees and pray, Father, give us to be strengthened into the inner man, that Christ may make his home in our heart by faith, that we may be rooted and grounded in love. You cannot just pray, Lord, fill us and strengthen us in spirit so we can be built up. It's not sufficient, but there's much more. Christ needs to make his home in our hearts. He dwells in us, we dwell in him. We have seen it in the Gospel of John. It's a mutual dwelling one in another, and we are being rooted and grounded in love, not only in spirit, but in love. And we do need this very urgently for the building up, to be rooted and grounded in love, that we can comprehend the riches together with all the saints. And we need to be sanctified. Otherwise, it's impossible to comprehend his riches together with the saints, because there will be things in between us, like our own opinion, our preferences. We need Christ and be one with him and know him according to the inner man. And this builds up the church. It's not just for my personal spiritual progress, but it's for the growth of the church. If we don't grow, the church won't grow. If we all grow, the church also is growing. That's why we want to comprehend with all the saints. And that is why we have this conference now with so many names. We could also use the camera and see so many faces to make us realize we are not alone. We need the fellowship. Now we have to respect social distance. It's a difficult period of time for us, the Christians in particular, and even the more for those who do not have so many contacts and who are suffering from being too much alone. We have to pray for them. So we need to come together to share the Lord's riches. The Lord, I'm sure, he also used this period of time to continue to sanctify us. Like Johnny was on the Isle of Patmos, he was very much alone. I'm sure he did win so much of Christ during that time, and we are in quarantine. And even for John, he was expatriated on the Isle of Patmos. It was a rich time for him. And Christ, he enables us to comprehend him with all the saints. And this needs faith and love. There's a verse in Philemon chapter 5. Philemon has got just one chapter.
Da ich von deiner Liebe und von dem Glauben höre, den du an den Herrn Jesus und zu allen Heiligen hast. Ich höre von deiner Liebe. Ich höre von deinem Glauben.
I've heard about your love and the faith you have for all the saints. That is a joy for the apostle. I am always happy when I hear about brothers and sisters, about their faith and love, not just that they are filled in spirit, but as a result from being filled, they have faith and they have love. That is a development, a progress. Faith and love. We need both. Why do we need love? Let's look at Ephesians 4:32.
Seid aber zueinander freundlich, herzlich.
And be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. That's what you need Christ for. That's why you need to be one with the Lord. We don't always have this willingness to forgive in our own nature. But it's so necessary, so decisive. You are not able to love the brothers and sisters as the Lord loves them if you are not always in the fellowship with him. If we do not know this mystery, then love will not be so much our experience, although it has been poured out into our hearts. We still will find it difficult. Romans says that God's love has been poured out into your heart, but still there are problems. I'm unable to be one with this brother or this and that sister. They are unable to get along with each other, and so they sit far away from each other. We have reservations, or we have accusations. You are such a spiritual person, and you are not able to forgive your brother with whom you have been serving for decades. What is that? I said, Lord, I want to be able to forgive all my brothers and sisters in the church. This is the Lord's heart. It's not possible to move on without this. The Lord even says, if you are unable to forgive the ones who owe something to you, then your heavenly Father will not forgive you either. So forgiveness is in the Lord's character. He loves to forgive. Once we have realized we are guilty and we say, Father, forgive me, I sinned, that was not right. Forgive me, I'm still that way. Please, Lord. and then the Lord forgives me. Otherwise, I could be standing here. Without the Lord's forgiveness, where would we be? Just waiting for the judgment. And you are in the church and you believe you can judge. Brothers and sisters, we are to love brothers and sisters, forgive them and be forthcoming, forgiving and being tender-hearted. This is the Lord's nature. Without love, there is no unity. Love ties everything together. It's God's love. God's love seals us together. Like it says also in Ephesians 2.
Oder wir können vielleicht noch ein Vers. Ja, Johannes 15 sehen wir das auch, was der Herr.
Ah ja, you can also see it in John 15.
Er redet vom Weinstock, von den Reben.
When the Lord is referring to the vine and the branches and the vine dresses, the fruit,
the
branches are pruned, and then all of a sudden he continues speaking about abiding in his love. One branch is not alone, but one branch is always connected with the other branches. That's why love is required. This is a new commandment. A new commandment. There was the old commandment, and that is the new commandment, that you love one another. No unity without love. And we believe for one another. There's faith and love. We also believe for the brothers and sisters. We don't forget about anybody. If one is almost quenched, we wouldn't say, well, forget about him. It's always the same problem for him. We would not write anybody down. The Lord also, he helped to set us up again and to set us on fire again. That is why we believe for one another. Paul is very strong in Philippians 1, in Philippians 1, verse 6. Being confident of this. So this is his faith. Faith is reality of things you don't see yet. Paul, he sees the saints in Philippi, and he can say, I'm confident that the one who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. I do not want to look at the outward things, but I want to see Christ in the saints. Christ, there's hope in the church for every brother and sister. I also want to be as confident as Paul was. I want to learn from Paul and have faith for the brothers and sisters that he will perfect his good work in us. We have to love the brothers and love is the top of spiritual growth, as we see in 2 Peter 1. From verse 3 on, And you can read it for your own later on. His divine power has given us all things, like in a seed, everything is in, like I have made, I have grown some pumpkin plant with the seeds I put into the earth and watered them. Now I've got some pumpkins seeds. Now the Lord, he is confident that the seed in us can bear fruit. So we should only pay attention that it can grow. In 2 Peter 1, we see that all things that pertain to life and godliness was given to us because everything is included in his life. And now we have to give all diligence. You cannot pull the plant to make it grow faster, but what can you do? You can water it and watch that it has the right sunny spot and that it is not at a place where it's too cold, where it's freezing. In the same way, we should develop what the Lord has put into us. So we should supply in our faith virtue and knowledge. We know the Lord, his virtues, and they are growing in us. And in knowledge, self-control, many have so much knowledge beyond their measure and they cannot control themselves and want to be something particular. We just want to be the church and a member in the body, a branch in the vine. So we have self-control, perseverance, and the highest expression is brotherly love. That's the expression the Lord wants to see. Now it's Holger's turn. I guess he's already waiting to start or to continue sharing. Praise the Lord for the brotherly love and for the unity in the church. Could somebody read from Ephesians chapter 2, 18 to 22? For through him we both have access by one Spirit to the Father. Now therefore you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building, being fitted together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. So we are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. The Spirit, it's all about the Spirit. The Spirit makes the difference. The Spirit wants to be expressed. And it's the Spirit's purpose that we should be built up together, a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. That means the dwelling place is nothing human or nothing of the soul. Although the dwelling place is made up of human beings, it's not of the soul, but it's a spiritual dwelling place. And God makes a clear distinction between spirit and soul. To us, it's sometimes not very clear. We are not as clear as God is. When the Lord revealed himself to Peter and revealed the church to Peter, it was a very high revelation. And then the Lord explained that his pathway would go through death and resurrection. But Peter, he said, "By no means, Lord, that should not happen. Let that be far from you." And the Lord didn't say, "Oh, well, I think I should consider it again." But no, behind me, Satan, that was the Lord's answer. But what you think is not of God, but of human beings. So we need the discernment in our spirit to know God's mind, God's view. We always have a good intention. Nobody has evil intention. And Peter certainly didn't have a bad intention. It was a good intention, but it was off. The spirit in us may have a different opinion from us, but the spirit is working in us and we are growing, and through him we have both access in one spirit to the Father. The spirit leads us to God and he shows us God's opinion. We can get to know God in the spirit. And to take access to the Father, every Christian, every person who is born again has received the Spirit. We have received Jesus, and those who have received him, they were given the a right to be a child of God. And everyone who has become a child of God has also received the Spirit. The Spirit is already in us. It's not something we have to work for, something we have to achieve. The Lord has given us the Spirit, and by the Spirit we can know him. And so we are no longer foreigners and guests, but we are fellow citizens of the saints and members of God's household. In the church life and in the conference, there are no guests. Maybe some are attending this conference for the first time, but let me tell you, if you're born again, if you're a Christian and have received the Spirit, you're not a guest. As a newborn, you're part of God's household. We all are part of God's household. We don't have any membership or just by the fact that we are believers in Jesus and have received him, we are part of, among the saints, we are part of God's household. No additional requirements or restrictions. No matter where we are, in what country, I know we are together. And we're in many countries in Europe and outside Europe, but we all belong to this one household of God.
Vers 14,
He said, it also says that he is our peace, who has made both one and has broken down the middle wall, making the two as one new man, and he made peace. So the Lord has torn down all the middle walls that might have been between us. The Lord has laid the foundation on which we can meet, we are, can be one without any impairment. We are very fast in building up fences or middle walls, and we pay so much attention to difference. We may think, this person is different, and that's still different, but not like I would prefer that he should be. So we are very quick and very keen in observing differences. And I think we are brought up that way to pay attention to differences. I don't know your case, but I know from my own environment that differences are very much considered. How is this person and that person? It's normal in the world. But Jesus does not want a difference. He wants the unity among us. And for this purpose, he made us into one new man. He has torn down all the middle walls. So we shouldn't build up new middle walls. We should be careful. And the key is our spirit. We have to know our spirit. I need to know the spirit. Know how is the spirit in me? How does the spirit react in me? We shouldn't try to get into Christ because we are already in him. We should just abide in him, as the Lord says. And once we abide in him, we are in the spirit, and in the spirit, we are one. If you are not in the spirit, I may be natural, fleshly, humane, religious as Peter was, legalistic, and that in that case, it's difficult to keep the unity. Unity is possible in spirit only. I would like to make a little excursion into the Old Testament. The people of Israel, they were one, and Solomon's son, Rehabiam, was supposed to be king, but Jeroboam made it, and he won a big number of the people who supported him, and as a result, the people was divided. And then his idea was, if as God has ordained clearly in his word, if the people would go to Jerusalem for the feast and to sacrifice in God's house, we read that story in 1 Kings 12, 25, 30, around that, and then the people's heart will turn back to their King Rehabiam. That means he was afraid that his power, his influence would be taken away from him. So what did he do? He set up new places of worship in Israel. One was in Dan, another one in Bethel. And then he told the people, that's too much for you to travel to Jerusalem each time to make things easier for you. Dan or Bethel, that's much closer for you. So it looked like doing something for the people, but in fact, his intention was to prevent them from going to Jerusalem. And then he set up golden calf. The people of Israel, they didn't notice, they accepted, you can't believe it, they accepted it and practiced this idolatry. And the result was a division among God's people and was more and more manifested. And finally, there was the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom, Judah and Israel. And before they were strong, as long as they were one, and after the division, they were no longer one. Many enemies came, and they were often defeated, and they were in problems all the time. And this shows God, by no means, he wants his people to be split up, but he wants his people to meet in one, as one. In the New Testament, in the book of Corinthians, the same, we can see the same. Some brothers and sisters, they met in different groups, but Paul was very severe and he wondered, what is that? Is Christ divided? And this has develop much further, and we see so many different groups in Christianity, which does not please the Father. The Father is so simple. He wants to have one church in one locality. He wants his people to meet in unity. Some Christians talk about a bunch of flowers, so beautiful, you can choose what you prefer, what you like better, but that is not what pleases the Father. The Father, he wants to see his people meeting in unity. And the requirement for this is our spirit and our sanctification. We need to be transformed into his image. In 1 Peter 1:16, it says, "You are to be holy because I am holy." But Peter here, what he writes is a quotation from the Old Testament. Read from Leviticus 19, just three verses. In fact, you could read the whole chapter. That would be too much, but let's read verses 2, 10, and 18. Leviticus 19, verses 2, 10, and 18. Speak to all the congregation of the children of Israel and say to them, "You shall be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy." 10. And you shall not glean your vineyard, nor shall you gather every grape of your vineyard. You shall leave them for the poor and the stranger. I am the Lord your God. And 18. You shall not take vengeance, nor bear any grudge against the children of your people, but you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord. In this chapter, the Lord shows what it means to be holy. What does it mean to be holy? Does it mean to follow commandments, laws? There are so many good and wonderful verses we're reading there. We can look what we should do, what we should not do. But if you look closer, These verses reveal that holiness is a nature, it's God's nature. Holiness is not mainly what to do or what not to do, but it's more about God's nature being expressed. The problem is that holiness is completely opposed to our own fallen nature. We are not like that in our natural man. How is it possible to experience sanctification? Let's get back to John 17, verse 19. I sanctify myself for them, that they also may be sanctified in the truth. In chapter 8, he said he always do what pleases the Father, and he sanctified himself for our sakes. The secret of sanctification is hidden in Jesus Christ. We need sanctification because holiness is the basis, is the foundation for practical unity. We need the Spirit, and sanctification happens by our contact with the Lord, by fellowshipping with the Lord, by touching Him in our spirit. As the Lord prayed in John 17, sanctify them in the truth. The truth can also be translated by reality. So we need to experience and touch the reality to be sanctified. It's not about a method, but about this reality. We have heard in a few previous meetings about how we can fellowshipping with the Lord. I can pray and eat the Lord in His Word, a very precious experience to eat the Lord in His Word. We can also come to Him together in the meeting, in groups. And as we touch the Lord, He will make His dwelling place in us, and the Father and the Son will be dwelling in us, and we will dwell in Him and experience sanctification as a result. Sanctification is also connected with purification in 2 Corinthians 7, verse 1. Therefore, having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. So we cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit and perfect holiness in the fear of God. So, to perfect holiness, we need cleansing in us. That's important. That means allowing the Lord to deal with things in us that do not correspond to Him. Let me tell you something. About 2 weeks ago, I had pruned some branches. Some bushes, some shrubs, and there was one, I think it was a kind of a currant, black currant. We did give me a very awkward impression. We were dry branches. Then I took a closer look and I realized that there were some weed, kind of an ivy that was climbing into the shrub and was growing around the current shrub. So I had to remove the weeds to allow the plant to grow properly. And that has shown to me there are a few things that have to be pulled out of our heart so that the Lord can grow. Pruning is important, but also the weeds have to be removed. Like the Lord, he gave that parable about the thorns and thistles. In that case, it was weed. So there are some plants that can grow in us, and they are able to suppress and suffocate the seed of the word. So be careful. Do not allow anything to grow together with the Lord's seed, because it can always kill the good word that is growing in us. So we should pay attention, be careful, and observe what is growing in you. Do not just trust that good things are in you, but these things can be hindered. So it's good to realize, even in a young age, you may be 15, 20, 25, so you set the direction for your whole life in that age. So it's important to tell the Lord, Lord, keep me in a good guard, and I want to be careful to preserve my heart for you. And not only the young people, even if I am 80, 85 years old, I can always set new directions and take a new decision for the Lord throughout my whole life. I can switch always to the right direction. And that is how we can complete the sanctification. The flock can reach the goal together. So it's all the more important to listen to this burden and to be sanctified. It's our free decision for the Lord's way, and also it's our free decision to allow ourselves to be sanctified. But the Lord needs sanctification to build us up and to lead us, to bring us to his goal, to manifest his unity for the world to see that the Lord was sent by the Father. So it's so good to pray, Lord, I sanctify myself for your sake, for the sake of your purpose. I would like to correspond to you and give my heart fully to you. So, a short summary. We need to know the Lord. We need faith and love for the saints. And we need the sanctification, and by touching the Lord and allowing him to cleanse us. Now it's your turn to continue.